Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stick around. It'll be a short time, just 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all without any type of manipulation. So I hope you'll stick around and listen. It's my joy to come to you every Sunday morning about the same time. On whatever station you're listening on, we're broadcasting on 110 cities across America this morning. I don't know where you may be, but thank you for listening. Thank you so much. Let me remind you, this is RickHughesMinistries.org, RickHughesMinistries.org. Recently, I've had some of my people try to get in touch with me through the Internet, and they've gone to a website called RichardHughesMinistries.org, and that is not me. That's a wonderful man over in Georgia. I am RickHughesMinistries.org, and we have The Flatline. All of our radio shows are on our website, plus all the books that we've written, and we give away free. So if you're interested in any of our material, just go on over to RickHughesMinistries.org, and you can find everything you need to know right there. The Flatline, this is show 914. That's 914 Sundays that we've been broadcasting this radio broadcast. And through every bit of this, our Father has supplied our needs. You notice we don't ask for money. We don't solicit offerings. We just trust the Lord to provide it, and He always has and always will. And this is the way I believe it should be done. I don't believe in hustling up money. So if God's in it, He pays for it. It's just that simple. Today I want to talk to you about a subject that's very interesting, something that I've run across listening to my pastor teach the Bible, and it's called the eyes of the soul. The eyes of the soul. Now, the soul, S-O-U-L, is not, I'm not talking about rhythm and blues. I'm talking about the invisible, immortal part of you that God Himself created. Your soul is composed of three, your body's composed of three parts, or you are, maybe put it this way, you have three parts to you, body, soul, and spirit. You have three parts, you're trichotomous, you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. And where do I get that? From 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, the unbeliever is spiritually dead from birth because of the imputation of Adam's original sin. Thus, that's why he needs to be born again if he wants to go to heaven, because he's spiritually dead and separated from God because of Adam's original sin. But as a reminder, the scriptures say in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works, so that my soul knoweth right well. That's right, you are indeed an amazing creation from the hand of God. We don't all look alike. Some are tall, some are short, some are round, some are skinny, some are dark-headed, some are blonde-headed, some are black, some are white, some are red, some are yellow. I mean, the Lord made us all. Everybody may be different, but the soul is not different. The invisible soul is exactly the same in every individual. Every one of us has a mentality, which is the ability to think and logic and reason. We all have volition, which is the ability to choose, decide, discern. We all have a conscience, and this is where your norms and standards are stored. This is what you learned as a kid, don't do this and don't do that, and it stays in your conscience and guides you through your life. And then you have a self-consciousness, which is an awareness of who you are. If you stood in front of a mirror, you could say, that's me. Oh, yeah, that's me. In the mentality of your soul is where we live the spiritual life. You live it in the mentality of your soul. Because your soul is a spiritual battlefield. And what you think determines whether or not you're going to win or lose the battle. Ephesians 4:23, the Apostle Paul says, then become refreshed or renewed by means of the way you think. Become refreshed or renewed by means of the Holy Spirit, by means of your thinking. So you are what you think. And if you want to put some muscle into your spiritual life, it's called faith. Faith is the muscle of the spiritual life, and without faith, you cannot please God. Where would I get that? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the next question is, what exactly is faith? What is that? What do you mean, faith? Well, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence, that's the key word, of things not seen. So faith is the absolute confidence for you to be able to see things not seen with the human eye. Faith is confidence supported by complete trust in God's plan. In Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. There's two words together, confidence and faith together. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In Hebrews 19:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And in 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him in his coming. Hear that word confidence keeps coming up? Do not cast away your confidence. Have confidence. Boldness and confidence by the means of faith. Confidence is an interesting Greek word in the New Testament. It wasn't written in English. It's written in Koine Greek. And this word, paresia, means frankness or bluntness or assurance. Here's something interesting. If you speak with confidence regarding God's plan, then you may speak boldly or frankly since you have seen the results through the eyes of your soul using faith. You believe God and you believe it's going to happen. People might accuse you of being dogmatic, may accuse you of being narrow-minded or even a bigot, but you have seen with the eyes of your soul what those individuals cannot observe because they have no confidence. They only have rationalism. We have a mandate to operate under faith. We're commanded to do that in Hebrews 12:2 through 3. Let us fix our eyes, that means concentrate, on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And that's a mandate. That's not a request. It goes on to say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such opposition by sinners against himself, so that you yourself do not grow weary and faint in your soul. So the whole reason for you using faith is to observe the coming circumstances, understand what's going to happen, and make you strong in the face of satanic opposition. A life of faith rest is a life of absolute confidence. And faith rest drill is problem-solving device number 3 of the 10 problem-solving devices that inform the flot line on your soul. A life of faith rest is a life of absolute confidence. Proverbs 2:2. Make your ear to concentrate on wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge of doctrine will be pleasant to your soul, and the heart of the wise man acquires knowledge. And that's the absolute confidence you have by learning God's word, storing it in your soul, producing faith. But without any biblical wisdom, if you don't understand this, without biblical wisdom, you are simply walking blindly through the devil's world. Problem is the unbeliever is at a tremendous disadvantage since he's trying to navigate his way through life without the advantage of soul insight, which comes from faith mixed with divine instruction. In Luke 24:45 and 46, our Lord gave his disciples the ability to foresee the future with the eyes of their soul's mentality. Listen as I read it to you. Luke 24:45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, so it's written, that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. So they saw now, with the mentality of their soul, what he was talking about. That's exactly what a well-qualified pastor can do for you. He can teach divine truth to you, called biblical wisdom, and that will give you understanding and insight about future events in your life. I'm not talking about fortune telling. I'm talking about God's plan and will for your life. For example, in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Why? Why did God give these gifts? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. That's you. You need to be equipped, and you need to be built up. Now, listen, your physical eyes have never seen heaven, neither have mine. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor has even the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But let me show you what the Bible says about heaven. Are you interested? In 1 Corinthians 15:51 through verse 55, picture this in your soul. In the mentality of your soul, see if your mind will let you see this by faith. I tell you a mystery, Paul wrote. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? This is talking about your resurrection body, getting a new body that you will live in throughout eternity. Can you see that by faith? Can you see it? Can you understand the things that I'm telling you? Listen to what I'm about to describe to you about heaven and see if your mind's eye can see this. John 14:2-3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Do you believe that? Do you have faith in that? Then you can see it. Your mind's eye can see it. That's the mentality of your soul, allowing you to see what's going to happen in the future as God's word proclaims it. Listen to this in Hebrews 12, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect. That's what it's going to be like. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels. You won't be able to count them all. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. That's us, you and me. And believers all across the world will assemble at the throne of God in heaven. Just picture this. Revelation 7:9-12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, all tribes, all people, all tongues, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hand, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's a future event, and I know that it's going to happen because I have faith in what God said in the Scriptures. There's going to be an incredible lifestyle in heaven. You might not realize it, but in Revelation 7, listen to this. After these things, I looked and beheld a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, all tribes, all people. I think that's what I just gave you. Did you get that? Didn't mean to repeat that twice. So there is peace and praise in heaven. Understand from Revelation 7:15. There's no arguing in heaven, no fighting in heaven. In Revelation 7:15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. And the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Think about that. That's what you have coming. Now, the agnostic, the disadvantaged person, say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that stuff. And that's fine. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. That's why God gave you volition. He gave you a choice. You can try to figure out what you think is going to happen on your own through some sort of rationalism. But I'm telling you what the Bible says is going to come true, and I can see it with the eyes of my soul, just like you can. The Holy Jerusalem, from the Apostle John's eyes, Revelation 21:9. Come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then the gates to heaven, Revelation 21:21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each individual gate was one of pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold like transparent glass. And then Revelation 21:23, and the city of God had no need of sun, nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it. And the Lamb of God is the lamp of that city. There is no night there. Wow. Can you believe that? That's what's awaiting you. That you should have confidence in all of this. You should desire to see all of this by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the only way you're going to get in. Because Christ said, I am the door. By me, man enters in and out. The tree of life is in heaven. Did you know that? Revelation 22:2, and in the midst of its streets, and on either side of the river there was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And once we're there, we will carry his name forever, and you won't believe where it is. Revelation 22:4, they shall see his face, and his name, that's the Lamb of God, shall be on their forehead, and there shall be no night there, and they will not need a lamp or a light of the sun. For the Lord will give them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. With the eyes of your soul, you have the confidence and the assurance in these things. Those are the biblical descriptions of what awaits you in the future. Can you see them? Can you understand that? Can you picture that in your soul? That's what faith rest is about. Again, the faith rest drill is the third of our 10 problem-solving devices. Let's go over them quickly for you, okay? Number one is rebound. What does that solve? That solves the problem of your personal sin. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. And when you sin, you can't make it up to God. You can't promise him you're never going to do it again, because that's a joke. You probably will do it again. But you can go to the Father and do exactly what the Bible tells you to do. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. That's the secret to the security and the empowerment of the Christian life. It's what allows you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, because when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit. And when you quench the Holy Spirit, you limit your soul's ability to use faith or see the future of God's Word. You must stay in fellowship. You must rebound when you sin. Please don't wait till you go to bed at night. Please don't say, well, I don't really sin much. One sin is like a thousand sins. When you sin, mental attitude sin, worry, fear, anger, bitterness, sin of the tongue, gossip, slander, maligning, criticizing, even overt sin, open sin. When you sin, you must rebound. You didn't lose your salvation, you just simply got temporarily out of fellowship with God. And if you rebound, 1 John 1:9, you can regain problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then this solves the problem of your genetically formed sin nature, because there's a battle inside of you. Unfortunately, the sin nature doesn't want to give up control of your life. And that's why Paul wrote, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if we will walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do you walk in the Spirit? By rebounding. When you sin, you stumble. When you rebound, you get up and continue to advance. That's walking in the Spirit. And then there is problem-solving device number three, what we're talking about, faith rest. Standing on the promises of God. They are as sure as the concrete in your driveway. I hope you have the faith to see that. I hope you understand The only way that your soul can comprehend these things is by faith. And that's why the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to have faith. He gives you enough information so that you can see these things in the future. Do you believe it? Do you have confidence in it? Will you tell someone else about it? I hope so. Faith has many, many promises in the Bible. I understand there's thousands of promises in the Bible. And we've written a book called Promises and Principles from the Word of God, and it's free. It lists a lot of the biblical promises that you can claim in certain situations. That's how you pray. You bring it back up to the Lord and say, now you wrote this, Father, and I believe this, and I'm claiming this. And that book is free, Promises and Principles, through Rick Hughes Ministries. You can call us 800-831-0718, 800-831-0718, and order that book on Promises and Principles. Or you can go to our website and order it from there. Then we have the grace orientation that we need to live life. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We die by grace. We have surpassing grace in heaven. It's all grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace of God. You took a deep breath this morning when you got up. You might have even made a cup of coffee. You might have got a glass of orange juice. You might have had a pancake or a biscuit or an egg. That's the grace of God providing what you need to live your life on a daily basis. Matthew chapter 6 talks about it. So you live by grace. That's a problem-solving device. You don't worry. You don't worry about your future. You don't worry about your provisions. God promised He would provide it. And then there's doctrinal orientation. That's when you begin to think the mind of Christ. As the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This does away with human viewpoint thinking. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans 12:3, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. You can't think it if you don't know it. If you don't know it, you can't see it, and you can't trust it. So in order for your soul to see these promises, you must have them in the mentality of your soul. And then you can stand on faith and believe it. Rebound, the filling of the Holy Spirit, faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, these all give you a personal sense of destiny, knowing that God has designed a plan for you. We talked about divine guidance a few weeks ago, and goodness, I must have had 20 or 30 people contact me and say, how do I get that book, Divine Guidance? That was written by my pastor many years ago, Colonel R.B. Thiem, out of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. You can always go there and order that book from their website, Thiem Ministries, T-H-I-E-M-E, Thiem Ministries. And you can order that book free of charge, Divine Guidance. If you can't do that, let us know. We'll try to get one for you. Okay, we go from personal sense of destiny to personal love for God, which is your motivational virtue, and impersonal love for other people, which is your functional virtue. You love Him because He first loved you. That's why you love Him, John says. And then that's the greatest virtue you can have, personal love for God. And this allows you to love people that are not very lovable, the same way God loved you. God so loved the world. You weren't very lovable when He did it, but you can use that same type of impersonal love. This gives you +8, sharing the happiness of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:11. I've told you these things so that My joy might be in you. And then you can come to being occupied with Christ, with the person of Christ, reflecting Christ in and through your life. Christ in you, Paul said, is the hope of glory. That's what you want your friends to see, Christ in you. You want to represent Jesus Christ through your life, through your lips, through your testimony, through your actions. That's what having a flat line on your soul is all about. You can't see what you don't understand. And you can't understand what you've never learned. In order for your soul to see these promises, in order for you to see the invisible that other people cannot see, it means you must grow spiritually. You must learn spiritually. The Lord Jesus Christ said, take My yoke and learn from Me. Learn from Me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Peter wrote, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I keep encouraging you to get under a well-qualified pastor. And I know there might not be one in your area. We can help you find that pastor if you'll contact us. We'll do our best to direct you in the right direction. Sooner or later, I'm not your pastor. I'm just an appetizer. I'm just an evangelist. I can't give you the whole meal, the complete meal. It's not my job. That's the job of your pastor, to give you that steak. I'm the salad dish before the steak. So let's find that pastor. Let's get under that pastor. Let's grow under that pastor so that we become the man or the woman God intends for you to be. That's my prayer, and that's why we have this radio show. We're looking for those sort of people that fit into what we call the pivot. That's the core group of mature believers that will deliver this nation in the future. Not by any military action, no. Not by any crusader action, no. But by their invisible spiritual life having an invisible impact on a nation. That's the only way we will survive. Took a lot of generations for us to get to where we are today. And I don't see us going back to where we used to be, the way things are going. But I see you, if you will grow, if you will learn, if you will study, if you will apply, I can see you representing Christ and delivering us in the future. So think about these things. Think about what you're missing by not seeing it with the eyes of your soul, the faith in your soul. And I hope you'll come back and be with me next week at the same time, same place. And I'm your host again, Rick Hughes, rickhughesministries.org. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
You'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Floodline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, we'll have some time of motivation, some inspiration, some education without any type of manipulation, because we're not going to con you. We're not going to try to solicit money. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We just want to give you accurate information. You might even ask yourself, how could a show like this benefit me? That's a fair question. As I expand and add additional costs for production and broadcast across the country, we have right now broadcast in over 100 cities, I take comfort in God's grace provisions. He provides the finances, He provides the inspiration for the messages, and He gives me the energy to do it. The objective of this show is simply one thing only, to make you wealthy. Not financially, no. We're not talking about finances, we're talking about spiritually. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul wrote, "We have this treasure in our earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be from God and not from ourselves." That Greek word treasure is a word you're familiar with. In the English, it's called thesaurus, meaning a word treasure. The treasure that I bring to you is the Word of God, if you will learn it and use it in your life. In Colossians 2:2-3, Paul wrote again, "...that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself." Listen now, listen. "...in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So we have the word wealth and treasure right there. That's our objective, to make you rich in the Word of God so that you can solve any problem you may face in your life and be able to effectively glorify God and represent Jesus Christ. But I want you to know there's trouble on the way. Yes, there is. There's trouble on the way because we are manufacturing machines for trouble. The Bible says in Job 5:7, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And again in Job 14:1, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yes, we manufacture trouble. Let's face it, humans are problem manufacturing individuals. We use our own free will, our own volition, to make numerous decisions that often cause us tremendous problems and grief in our life. As I answer the phone in my office constantly as a result of these radio shows, I talk to people that have a lot of problems and that have a lot of grief and a lot of problems. And sometimes it's self-induced, sometimes it's not. But trouble is there. It's in the devil's world. We live in the devil's world. So if you've made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I sure pray you've done that, then God has provided for you an amazing way to live based on the provisions of the Holy Spirit and His Word, which you know to be the Bible. It's called simply the Christian life, and when you learn how to execute that life, the Christian life has the ability to provide perfect peace and security for you even in the worst circumstances you face. That's why you will hear us say adversity is inevitable, however stress is optional. Self-induced misery is a symptom of bad decisions made from a position of weakness. But it all boils down to our own volition, V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N, volition. We are free to choose for God's plan, and we are free to ignore God's plan, because our Heavenly Father will never force anybody to do anything. In my particular travels over the years, I've had to locate certain schools and cities that I've visited, places I had never been before. And to do this, I needed a good map of the roads, and once I got into the city, I would usually have to ask some individual, how do I get to the school where I was going to speak? As a matter of fact, you might not know that I've spoken in over 5,000 school assemblies over the past 50 years. But today, with the help of GPS services, I simply ask that one word, Siri. Hey, Siri, how do I get to, then I tell it my objective, and the direction will appear on my telephone, my cell phone, which is then fed into my own screen navigation in my automobile. Consider your destiny and how you will get there is what I'm telling you. Once while I was trying to locate a boat ramp to launch my boat in a bass fishing tournament, I went down the wrong road and had to back up for at least a mile since there was a washed out bridge and no place to turn around. Life is too short for you to have to be backing up, too short for you to take the wrong road. That's why the Bible is God's directional device, and if you learn it and apply His directions and follow His instructions, I will assure you that you will arrive safely. So let's start with heaven. How's that? You want to get to heaven? How can I assure you you can arrive safely? Well, to start with, Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You might have a hard time believing that Christ is the door to heaven, but could I ask you, have you got a better deal? Did somebody tell you there's a better way? Someone say there's another way to get to heaven. You might say, I'm asking you to put faith in that statement, I am the door. Am I asking you to do that? Yes, I am asking you that. That's exactly what God requires. You must put faith in that statement, I am the door. That's the only way you can walk in it, is by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe first that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if you wish to know God, you must have faith in what the Bible says and walk through the door of Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. Now, I don't know how you make decisions. There are just three ways to perceive truth, and it's really up to you to make that decision. Some people call it rationalism, and that's a view appealing to intellectual people, deductive reasoning as opposed to sensory experience or any religious teachings as a source of knowledge. Rationalism, rationally figure something out, and you can try to rationalize why the door thing is not true. And then there's empiricism. That's you gathering data from experience, scientific theory, all that knowledge, sense experience, stimulated by the rise of experimental science that was developed back in the 17th and 18th centuries by John Locke and George Berkeley. And then there is what we operate under, what we live by, not rationalism, not empiricism, but it's called pisticism, P-I-S-T-I-S-C-I-S-M, from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, faith. That's the word faith. So operating under faith is pisticism. So if I use faith as my system of perception, can I be absolutely confident that I will go to heaven by accepting Christ as my Savior? Well, listen to what the Bible says in 1 John 5:3. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know. You may know, that's confident. You may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So what if you choose not to do that? What if you choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and you choose not to accept Him as your Savior? Does the Bible comment on that if you reject that by faith? Yep, it sure does comment. 1 John 5:10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he does not believe the testimony that God gave of his Son. So when you say, I don't believe that, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the door, I don't believe he's the only way to heaven, you are calling God a liar. Good luck with that. The testimony is found in the Scriptures about the truth of God when God pronounced who his Son is. Listen in Matthew 3:17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, quote now, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's God the Father actually vocally saying Christ is his Son. Did the Lord Jesus Christ actually claim to be the Son of God? Listen for yourself in John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke their Sabbath, but he also said God was his Father, making him equal with God. Now, here's the question. Do you believe what the Bible says is true? Again, you have volition. Do you believe what the Bible says is true? It's really up to you. All Scripture, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, in 2 Peter 1:21, again, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it was not a bunch of men sitting down and deciding to write a book called the Bible. It's amazing if you look over the years how it's not contradictory. If you look over the many years that it took to compile the Bible, it's amazing to see how what's in the Old Testament refers to what's in the New Testament. It's amazing. No man wrote this book. It was led by God the Holy Spirit and put upon the heart of men what to write. If the greatest thing God can do is to redeem me and redeem you out of the slave market of sin and guarantee to us that we have eternal life with Him, and you believe that, then why, here's the question, why will you not trust Him with the easy part? What's the easy part? Well, to give you directions about how to have a wonderful life. To direct you how to live your life, how to have a wonderful life. You believe the first part, why can you not believe the second part? Listen to Proverbs 1:33. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. In Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, don't forget my law, but let your hearts keep my commandments, for length of days and a long life and peace it will add to you. Listen to those two verses again. If you listen to me, you will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. And let your heart keep my commandments, Proverbs 3:1-2, and you will have length of days and a long life and peace they will add to you. I mean, what's wrong with that? God's not trying to hurt you. God's not trying to hinder you. He's trying to help you. And if he can, it's in the Bible. If he will learn it and use it, operate by faith. The mistake that Eve made was simply she was fascinated by the serpent. and she believed the lie that he told her. There are a lot of lie tellers in this world today, so the question becomes simply, who will you believe? Will you believe the Bible, and that's called divine viewpoint? Or will you believe the liar who's talking to you? That's called human viewpoint. Again, it's your volition. You have a choice. You have to decide. Let's see, God wrote the Bible so he could harm me. No, it doesn't sound like it. God wrote the Bible so he could mislead me. No, it doesn't sound like it. God wrote the Bible so that I'd be confused. No, it doesn't sound like it. Well, what did he write the Bible for? So you would have a path to life and understand how to be rich spiritually. How to have a fantastic, wonderful life. It's called having a flatline in your soul. That's what the radio show's made up about. How to rebound your sin, how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, how to operate under the faith rest drill, how to utilize all of grace, all of God's grace provisions, how to orient to doctrine in your soul, how to have a personal sense of destiny. God, when he saved you, he called you, he has a destiny for you and he has a history for you. How to have a personal love for God, the great virtue, the wonderful virtue of personal love for God. And by the way, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. That's reciprocal love. And then impersonal love for the ones you don't even like. All of this put together gives you the ability to share the happiness of God. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:11. I've told you these things to his disciples so that you might have my joy in you. And we can be occupied with Christ. That's the flat line. That's what God provided for you. Why would you turn that down? Why? I can tell you why. I can tell you why. It's your life. You're only going to get one shot at it. But I suggest you decide quickly since the meter's running right now. Solomon wrote these words at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Very interesting to read them. In Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. The conclusion he came to is this. When all has been heard, here's the conclusion. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment and everything which is hidden, whether it be good or evil. Solomon had more money than you can imagine. More than you could ever win in the lottery, I promise you. As a matter of fact, winning the lottery is nothing compared to what Solomon had. He had money out the wazoo. He had beautiful homes, lovely wives, concubines. He was brilliant. He was attractive. But he lived a life of regret. He wrote in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance will be satisfied with its income. It's vanity," he said. In the end, his life was full of regrets. Ecclesiastes 2:18. "So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me. Everything is futility and striving after the wind." So he said, "Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me." Now listen carefully. You have those that are coming after you. Your life is coming to an end eventually, sooner maybe than you think. And everything you have is going to be left to someone else. Solomon worried about that because he had an idiot of a son. And he knew what was going to happen. And it did. He hated to leave all the fruit of his labor to someone that didn't have any moxie. Now what about you? It's never too late for you to correct your course in life. Never. You can do that today. You can correct your course in life as while we're talking to each other. It's never too late. You can always rebound your sin, rebound your mistakes by using problem-solving device number one, and get back into fellowship with God. And once you get back in fellowship with God and start studying God's Word under a great pastor, a well-qualified pastor, you can start to orient to God's plan and adjust to His course and fulfill the objective He has for you. But it's up to you. So I want to invite you to survey your life. Survey your life and answer one simple question. Did you buy into the lie that happiness can be found apart from God's plan? Did you do that? Or will you make excuses due to your lack of faith or fear, whichever one it is? In Matthew 8:18, the Lord gave a commandment to get in the boat and let's go across the Sea of Galilee. Told the disciples, let's go, hop in the boat, we're going to cross the Sea of Galilee. And here's what one of them said. Matthew 8:21. Another of his disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go home and bury my father. All right. There's nothing wrong with going to your father's funeral, is it? I mean, isn't that the right thing to do? But Jesus said to him, you follow me, and you let the dead bury their own dead. You see, there's several types of death, spiritual death, physical death. And what he's saying is you let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You are spiritually alive. You follow me. You stick with me. Let's go. Get in the boat. That's the question I have to ask you. Are you willing to get in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to pay the price, even though it may mean you're not doing the right thing socially? Another one of the followers that was supposed to be in the boat said this, Luke 9:61. Another one also said, I will follow you, Lord. Yes, oh yes, oh yes. But first, by the way, let me go home and tell my wife goodbye. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you have to second guess whether or not you're supposed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have to ask your wife or your spouse first? Were you willing to do what he said? Let's go. Get in the boat. What has the Lord Jesus Christ instructed you to do? What has he said he wants you to do? Has he made any statements like that? Well, the answer is obviously yes, he has. In 1 John 5:3, the Bible says, this is the love of God, that we keep his mandates, and his mandates are not grievous. The first thing God wants you to do is simply love him. Appreciate him. Love him and appreciate him and respect him and obey him. That's how you demonstrate you love God. You think he's going to ask you to do something that's hard? You think he's going to ask you to do something you're not capable of doing? Listen to that verse again, 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God. In other words, you're demonstrating it now like this, that we keep his mandates and they are not hard. Where'd you get this idea that God's going to ask you to do something hard? Adam and Eve were not instructed to do anything hard. They were instructed to have a wonderful life in the garden. Just take care of the garden, name the animals, have a wonderful time, be in love with each other. What was hard about that? We have a problem. We mess things up. We are problem manufacturing machines, aren't we? Our Lord has instructed you to do something very, very easy. Very simple. Just obey him. It all starts with you obeying this simple mandate. It's not a hard mandate. It's real simple. Here it is, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you can be approved and you can be disapproved. This is not about being a Christian. It's not saying you're not saved. That's not what it's about. It's about whether or not you grow up to be a mature Christian. Whether or not you learn God's word and become rich, have a treasure in your soul with wisdom, insight, understanding, discernment. But you can't obey what you don't know. And you'll never know what God has for you without learning the scriptures. That's why you hear me constantly harping for you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor who can accurately teach the Bible to you. If you don't know where one is, contact me. I will tell you where one is, and it might not be in your city. You may have to do what I do, and that's go to the internet and watch the streaming video of pastors teaching the Word of God. But thanks to today's technology, it's as if you're right there in the congregation, and yet you're still seated at your desk with your Bible, with your notebook, taking notes and learning until God shows you the right place. But you can't obey what you don't know, and you can't know it if you don't learn it. You know, excuses are really easy, aren't they? I mean, I'm too busy. I've heard all these excuses from people that know the Lord Jesus Christ, people that are Christians, and we talk about daily studying God's Word, daily getting into the Bible, daily sitting down under the authority of a pastor and listening to him teach, daily taking notes, daily reading over your notes, daily doing this. Wait a minute, don't you eat every day? Yeah. Don't you exercise every day? Yeah. Why can you not study the Bible every day? I'm too busy. I don't have any time. I don't know where a good church is. As Jesus told the disciples, I'm telling you, get in the boat and quit making excuses. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 5, verse 11 through 16 said this, "We have many things to say to you, and they're hard to be uttered because you are dull of hearing." What does that mean? It means they can't concentrate for long periods of time. And I've seen that. Young believers can't concentrate for 10 or 15 minutes, and that's why churches have gone to entertainment, because people get bored with preaching and teaching the Bible. They can't concentrate, so they need entertainment to keep them interested. You have to be able to concentrate. Dull of hearing are those people that can't concentrate. And then the writer went on to say, "For when the time is, you ought to be a teacher yourself. You have need that someone back up and teach you again the very first principles, the basics of the oracles of God. You have become such as a baby that needs a bottle of milk and you can't handle strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's still a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Good and evil. You'd be surprised about that. You think that's bad things and good things. No, that's Satan's plan. Human good and evil is the production of Satan's plan. God rejects all evil, human good and evil. The number one evil thing in your life is organized religion. Satan hides in the bushes in organized religion, telling you you're going to go to heaven if you do this, or you're going to go to heaven if you do that, if you're a good little boy. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you will go to heaven if you accept Christ as your Savior and believe in Him. "He that believes in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God shall abide on him forever." So today, you can nail that down. You can simply tell the Father in a prayer, "Father God, I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I'm willing to accept Him as my Savior." That's an act of faith. That's you walking through the door. That's you trusting what Christ said to deliver you from eternal death and fire in the lake of fire. Do you have that kind of faith? And do you have enough faith to take God's Word and learn it and use it? Do you have the self-discipline to acquire that information? Can you concentrate long periods of time? Or do you fall asleep in church? You're one of those back row bumblers that falls asleep, can't keep your eyes awake. Well, if it's a good TV show, you don't have any trouble, but you can't listen to the teaching of the Word of God because you're dull of hearing. That's what the Scripture said. You make your mind up. You choose. But I'm telling you today, it's time for you to get in the boat and let's go. Our nation needs you. We need you to become a mature believer, because that's what delivers us in times of disaster. Mature believers who the grace of God sees and blesses, and then we have national historical blessing as a result of that. I hope you've been listening today. I hope you've been paying attention. I haven't beat around the bush. I've been pretty straightforward. I'll be back next week if the Lord allows me. Same time, same place. Until then, thank you now for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.